Welcome to Firefox News Online, live on blogtalkradio.com and simulcasting live on Mixlr.com. The rules are simple. No personal attacks, threats, or hate speech will be tolerated either in the chat room or on the phone lines. If you commit to these acts, your chat will be deleted, you will be blocked, and you will be removed from the phone lines. Remember, your opinion is your own, and no one has the right to force their opinion on you or anyone else. The number to call is 347-945-5747. Block calls, unknown Skype names will not be accepted. You must be in the chat room and let us know you are calling in with your area code and first three numbers and or your Skype name. The views and opinions expressed in this coming broadcast are that of myself and those who call in, and do not reflect the views and opinions of any other person, Mixlr.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, or Firefox News Online Productions. With that having been said, it's time to get underway.
Yeah. pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now, it's time for Talking Points with me, citizen journalist, George Senzer.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Firefox News Online, live on blogtalkradio.com and simulcasting live on Mixlr.com. It's time now for Talking Points. But tonight's Talking Points... not about politics. It's not about what's happening in the Iowa primaries or what's going down the pipe. We will talk about that a little bit later on as time goes on. But unfortunately, it is about the big blizzard storm that is approaching on the East Coast. And this is a big one. According to the National Weather Service, this is going to be one hell of a storm. Now, hopefully, things will not be as bad as they're predicting, but worst case scenario, this could mean a very serious problem for a lot of people in the Northeast, especially for here in New York, depending on how hard the storm hits and the direction it takes.
This is a Firefox News Online weather alert.
Winter Storm Jonas, as I'm talking about here in my talking points, but I had to include the weather alert, is a dangerous winter storm that could bring crippling snow, major ice. There are blizzard warnings all the way from Washington, D.C., through Baltimore, and it's getting even worse. I'm doing this live, by the way, folks. I'm attempting to do this all very, very live. So let me switch my feed here. My feed is already switched. Let me put out the audio from the Weather Channel with more information on Winter Storm Jonas.
Say goodbye to the milk and bread in Baltimore, D.C., and you know what? It's for good reason. Winter Storm Jonas is set up to be a historic storm for parts of the Mid-Atlantic, and we already saw what happened Wednesday night. With just a little bit of snow in D.C., we had major traffic issues. This is going to be way, way worse, starting late Friday, lasting through the day on Saturday. So let's go over what we do know as far as Winter Storm Jonas goes. This is going to be a legitimate blizzard, all right? We're also likely to have widespread power outages, not only because of the blizzard condition winds, but we'll also have just heavy wet snow that could bring down power lines and trees. Coastal flooding is going to be major, especially Saturday morning during high tides, Jersey coast especially. Some spots are set up to get over 2 feet of snow. So here's how it pans out. I mentioned the snow really starts to ramp up late Friday. Overnight Friday is going to be a mess. Saturday, an absolute mess. Travel will be literally impossible anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. Now, the snow itself is going to quiet down a little bit early Sunday, but we'll still have blowing ground snow in the Mid-Atlantic with the wind that'll still be in place. So, when all is said and done, D.C., Baltimore, we're expecting right around 2 feet. Philly, probably about a foot of snow. New York in that 5 to 8 inch range. Boston, you're not going to get much. Much more of a Mid-Atlantic problem than a Northeast storm this one's going to be. You know, things weren't too bad at the...
So there you have at least the latest information that I'm able to come up with on this storm. Let me stress something here. He said 5 to 8 inches. According to the graphic I just looked at, the storm line that's cutting through New York, anywhere between 12 to 18 inches was on the graphic line. So I'm going to put it to you like this. It could be 5 inches or 18 inches, depending on where you are in the New York area. Those of you who live in the Washington, D.C. and Baltimore areas, take my advice for what it's worth. Get yourselves together everything you need right now. This storm is gearing up to be a big one. Remember the storm that they had in the Midwest while New York was enjoying the nice weather in December? Well, I got news for you. You better pray to God that this storm doesn't remotely resemble what they got in the Midwest. Because if it does, as far as snow, we're in for big trouble. Traveling over the weekend is going to be treacherous. I advise anyone and everyone to stay off the roads. This is not the kind of storm you want to be out in. Even if you only see a dusting on the roads at the start, don't venture out unless it's a dire emergency. Okay? Take my advice. It's really that simple. If you venture out and you get caught in a blizzard, it could be lethal. It could be lethal. I remember the blizzard conditions we had when I was growing up, and oh boy, we were talking some serious snowfall. 2, maybe almost 3 feet of snow. Schools closed everywhere. It took days to dig out, and I mean, wow. We were in a major league problem all the way. And not for anything, but I think we can all learn from prior storms to be very cautious. Let me bring my... It was supposed to be talking points turned into a weather bulletin. Let me bring my buddy Gunslinger onto the conversation. Gunslinger, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, actually, it got kind of cool here. I think the temperature dropped to, I don't know, what was it, 36. Wind chill 27. Yeah, great. The humidity's up there, so it makes it feel, the cold feel even colder than what it is. I hate that. Besides that, everything's just cheeky.
Well, I want to say it could be a lot worse. Hey, you could be up here in the Northeast with us, getting ready for that blizzard.
Yeah, and I'd find me the nearest oven just hibernate in too.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I've got food in the house and I've got heat and everything, I'm good. But there are people, you know, who are disabled and, you know, worse than I am, who are going to be in a lot of trouble, especially senior citizens. They're going to, you know, they're the ones that need to be checked on the most. I mean, if you know, and this is something I tell people every single year during winter storms like this. If you have a neighbor next door across the street from you that happens to be disabled or elderly, check on them. Check on them as often as possible. Don't get yourself killed doing it, but go and check on them. Make sure they're okay. If they don't, if their electricity goes out, if the heat goes off, and you're able to keep heat in your house, bring them to your home. Let them stay with you until such time as things can be restored. The reason I say this, folks, is because every single snowstorm, you always hear of one fatality. I'd like to minimize that to no fatalities, if possible. That's why I'm asking everyone to look out for one another during this major league storm coming. Now, I'm not the least bit worried about it, but I am concerned for everyone else, especially those who are going to be in the path of the worst part of it. Now, right now, where I am, here in New York, it is 25 degrees, but it feels like 15. Yeah. Ain't that just lovely? Imagine, if you will, waiting until later tonight when the temperature goes down into the low 20s or even the teens. That could be a problem. Especially for guys like me who have to venture out and go to the dumpster to dump garbage or what have you. If there's ice on the ground, it's an ice skating rink. And I don't have my ice skates anymore. I gave those up for a long time ago, especially when I didn't know how to ice skate. But Winter Storm Jonas is really packing a punch by the looks of the gun. It really does look bad. Makes me wish Texas and not here in New York. You know?
Well, I said I'd have to find me a commercial dryer and just keep putting quarters in it, you know. Spin me around and around. You know.
Wait, Gunn, are you saying just to keep warm?
Yeah. I'm sandwiched between two heaters right now. And like I said, it's 36 degrees here. That's cold for Texas. I mean, that's cold.
Yeah, well, again, Texas is not used to that cold a temp. You know, down there in Texas, you're not used to really bitter cold temperatures, so that's understandable. I mean, usually,
exactly, we're not used to that. I mean, at least I'm not. Now, some people may like it. Some people may run out, start naked in the damn shit. And not me. Me catch me outside, start naked. UVOZ.
That's because in South Carolina, who could sit out on his porch probably in a t-shirt and shorts. I'm coming. And not be the least bit concerned.
I don't see how they did it. I don't know. Maybe if I was born in that area, like you were, maybe with it, 45 degrees, heat wave, no problem.
He's in New York, and I'm not used to it.
Sheesh. Anybody can get used to it.
I inherited my hate of the cold from my mother. In fact, I know I did. When it gets down to 50 degrees, I'm feeling a little chilled. When it gets down to 40 degrees, I'm feeling cold as hell. When it gets down to 30 degrees, I'm freezing half to death. So trust me, I may live in New York, I may have been born and raised here, but I'm not used to it. I don't think there's a New Yorker alive that's used to it. I could be wrong, but that's just a guess on my part, mind you. But I'm checking all the major news networks. Wow, they're not talking about this. At least not real big like they've been doing.
You think it would be to make the headlines or something? Interesting.
Well, it's, let's see, Fox News Channel. We'll start there. Their big headline on their website right now is "Giving the Green Light: Pentagon Loosens the Rules of Engagement for ISIS in Afghanistan." And Winter Storm Jonas isn't even mentioned in their latest news section. Wow. That's very unusual. Well, then again, that doesn't surprise me. By the way, I sent the link to the to that YouTube video that showed the RNC member talking to Rance Priebus and the rest of the RNC about rallying against Trump. They still haven't used it yet. Which leads me to believe they're in league with the RNC to try and derail Trump. Isn't that a hit in the head? All right.
It's very possible. I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, CNN's talking about it, about the storm. They're asking the question, are you ready? 3,000 flights canceled. 30 million people in blizzard watches. Okay. Checking MSNBC.com. Wow. On their rundown list of the top 10 news stories, the blizzard only makes number 4. And they're saying it could make legitimate, quote-unquote, legitimate history. Now, according to their headline, absolute mess, Mid-Atlantic blizzard could make, quote-unquote, legitimate history. Oof, I don't even want to think about it. I'm trying to avoid this, but I can't. According to MSNBC, the liberal rag that it is, in quotations, historic is an overused word, but it applies to the blizzard that's coming for the national capital region, large parts of which could get more than 30 inches of snow over the weekend. The National Weather Service said Washington, D.C. itself could get as much as 29 inches by Sunday night, topping the record measured in the Knickerbocker blizzard of January 1922 when 28 inches of snow fell. That storm was named for Crandall's Knickerbocker Theater, the roof of which collapsed under the weight of the snow, killing 98 people and injuring 133 others. Now, the Capitol is at the center of an angry, sprawling winter storm that's forecast to deliver heavy snowfall over at least 15 states beginning Friday afternoon and evening and continuing well into Sunday night. Rare blizzard warnings were issued for the Washington and Baltimore metropolitan areas, while blizzard watches spread north through the Philadelphia area and into New York City. This is going to be a legitimate blizzard, said Ari Sarzalari, a meteorologist for the Weather Channel. Some of these snow numbers are absolutely staggering. When you zoom out to the larger picture, more than 85 million people, about a quarter of the country's population, were covered by winter weather warnings, watches, and advisories from New York to South Carolina and west to Kansas. The Weather Channel estimated Thursday. Saturday will be an absolute mess, predicting Sarzalari, whatever. Yeah, the Weather Channel weatherman. I'll just say it like that because I can't pronounce his name to save my life. The Weather Channel guy said predicting that travel would be literally impossible anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic region. American Airlines canceled all of its Friday flights out of the Washington, Baltimore, and Charlotte, North Carolina airports, among almost 2,000 arrivals and departures that had already preemptively been scrubbed at airports up and down the eastern seaboard. 2 days in advance, more than 1,250 arrivals and departures had already been taken off the board for Saturday. Amtrak canceled several national services for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, including Crescent service from New York to New Orleans, Cardinal service from New York to Chicago, and Silver Meteor service, New York to Miami. The Capital Limited, so named because it connects Chicago and Washington, won't actually go to the Capitol on Friday and Saturday because it will be stopped at Pittsburgh. A day after a mere inch of snow paralyzed Washington, transit authorities shut down the D.C. area metro system, the nation's second busiest mass transit network, for the entire weekend. No trains will run after 11 p.m. Friday, and buses will be benched at 5 p.m. during the heart of the evening rush hour. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, however, suggested his city is made of sterner stuff and said there were no plans yet to close the subway. Many areas were under blizzard advisories because of strong winds forecast for the weekend. Forecasters warned that 60-mile-an-hour gusts could blow wet, heavy snow into trees, power lines, and transformers, presaging widespread power failures in the east from North Carolina to New England. Bear with me, I just lost my place here. Hold on. There we go. And because a full moon will swell tides this weekend, moderate to major coastal floods could be in store for Maryland and Delaware to all the way up to Connecticut, including coastal New York. According to Michael Lowry, a storm surge specialist at the Weather Channel, the storm is expected to reach so far south that it could affect Sunday's National Football Conference Championship between the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals in Charlotte. Say it isn't so, no football? A forecast of freezing rain Friday led the city to cancel a pep rally for the team, and snow up to 3.5 inches is forecast for Saturday, when the Carolinas are scheduled to fly to Charlotte ahead of Sunday's game. And I got to stop reading right there because I can't talk. I'm losing my voice. I don't believe this. So this storm is really going to impact a lot of people. A lot of people. What, 85 million total? Flights and trains either canceled or just outright stopped altogether. And by the way, I got a message from Mayor Bill de Blasio down there in New York City, some 80 miles south of me. Yo, de Blasio, New York City may be made of sterner stuff, but answer me a question. Are you that stupid? You ought to be prepared to shut things down as soon as the storm starts making its way into town and showing a serious problem. Once you start getting blinding snow, if that happens, of course, you should be prepared to shut things down and quickly. Mayor de Blasio, I know you're a liberal, and I know you've got a few brain cells missing, but are you that completely off your rocker is to think that you have to wait for the worst case scenario to happen? Oh, no good. It's going to be one of those nights. I can see it.
Kind of looks that way, don't it?
Well, I don't know where everybody else is, but at midnight, if nobody else is here, I will call it a night early because I'm actually coming down sick. I was going to cancel the show tonight. Seriously. So I may only run till midnight and then go to bed because honestly, I can barely make out what's written on the screen right now. Now, when I get that bad, I'm sitting here yawning my head off. I know it's time for me to do the right thing and take care of myself. Anyway, try and snap myself to life here a little bit so I can focus on a few things. I want to go back to one of the other news, so-called news pages. Oh, excuse me. Goodness. Oh, my God. I don't believe this. Two more detainees were released from Gitmo. One wants to stay. I'm serious. That's what it says. Two more detainees were released from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And one actually wants to stay behind. I'll play the audio clip and try not to join in your ears, folks.
Now, who in the world would want to stay behind?
My president. But here's the clip. His effort to empty out and then close the terror prison at Guantanamo Bay. And there are new questions being raised now about his methods and justifications for
it. It is expensive, it is unnecessary, and it only serves as a recruitment brochure for our enemies. There's a better way.
7 years after his inauguration and one of his first acts in the Oval Office.
The process whereby Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
President Obama is now trying hard to make good on that pledge without Congress, releasing Gitmo detainees slowly at first, but now in large groups, a trickle that has become a waterfall of releases to countries that agree to take them.
JTF Gitmo split the detainee population into three different categories, ranging from low risk to medium risk to high risk. When he came into office, we've analyzed the 240 detainees who were there on his first day in office. 75% of them were deemed high risk by Joint Task Force Guantanamo. President Obama's own task force didn't find a single innocent guy at Guantanamo, didn't recommend a single guy for release. So you're dealing with a high-risk population here. So as these high-risk detainees are released or transferred abroad, what you're seeing is more and more risk of these guys going back to the battlefield and doing real harm.
Half a world away, in the African nation of Ghana, citizens are angry, calling into radio talk shows, posting all over social media in Ghana after the country agreed to take two Yemeni Gitmo detainees this week. The outcry was so great, Ghana's president called a rare press conference to defend the move.
Extensive consultation was held both internally and externally. A risk assessment was done by myself, and these two detainees, Aldubi and Benatef, were considered to be the most compliant detainees in Guantanamo camp, and they were put in the lowest risk category in Guantanamo. And let me be clear, people say ex-convicts. They were never tried, they were never charged, they were never convicted. These were 20-year-old boys. I will not take any decision that would jeopardize the safety and security of this country.
The problem is the two Yemenis released were not the lowest risk. In fact, one of them was classified the highest risk of posing a, quote, threat to the U.S., its interests, and its allies. That's the assessment of Joint Task Force Guantanamo. Mohammed Omar Mohammed bin Atef is described as a highly trained al-Qaeda fighter who, quote, continues to demonstrate his support for Osama bin Laden and extremism. And most troubling, the report says, quote, he has threatened to kill U.S. citizens on multiple occasions, including a specific threat to cut their throats upon release.
They looked at their military capability and their intent. And this is someone who fought for Al-Qaeda, who was trained by Al-Qaeda, and then throughout his time in custody, he had this intent to harm Americans. And these two things together are what made him a high risk, in their opinion. What Ghana's saying about these two guys isn't accurate. And, you know, if you look at what the White House and what the administration says, they basically are not refuting it. They're not going to knock it down. So it leads you to the impression that, in fact, this is what they told Ghana about these two guys, and it's just flat wrong.
In fact, when the Weekly Standard's Steve Hayes, for a Wall Street Journal piece, pressed the information minister at Ghana's embassy in Washington about why Ghana agreed to take these Yemeni detainees, the minister said the U.S. government provided assurances in writing that, quote, Mr. Bin Atef was never involved in terrorism and presented little risk. Quote, if that assurance was not there, he said, there is no way his government would have taken the detainees. So how does the White House square that disparity? Miles Coggins, a spokesman for the National Security Council, would not address Hayes' question directly, saying, quote, I don't have any comment on information that may have been made public by WikiLeaks. The Guantanamo Task Force and the subsequent process to clear detainees for transfer was focused on mitigating any potential threats. We'll let the statement by Ghana stand.
A lot of these countries that take on the Guantanamo detainees can't actually keep them off the battlefield. We find that they go back to the fight pretty quickly. And in fact, to this day, right now, of course, somebody who was transferred from Guantanamo just a couple years ago is now one of the most senior Al-Qaeda leaders on the planet.
Make sure that you look for Steve and Tom's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal posting online tonight.
Figures. I go to get a cup of coffee and the damn thing ends.
Okay. Sorry about the delay.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly.
Hold on. Let me kill an audio clip here.
Hysteria surrounding Donald.
Turn off already. Jesus. I hate when that happens. I'm going to put you on, Ron. Relax. Hold your water, will you? Give me a chance to click the button. Damn.
Son of a bitch, I hate waiting. It's like waiting in line when you pull a number, you know, number tap, and you wait for the number to get called, but this is
all. Can't
be helped. You get your coffee, George. Go get a drink of that shit. You probably need it.
You know that old saying, hurry up and wait?
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
That's the story of my life, hurry up and wait. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, wow, crazy. We'll reach coffee, George. We'll be all right. I'll start some shit.
Oh, I know.
What the hell you doing, man? Why did you send this cold shit up here to me?
Hey, I didn't send it. What? You're sending it my way.
I know, but honestly, you're sending it to me first, then I send it to you.
I know that
you pass along.
But that's
that way.
Don't you think?
Yeah, tornadoes in Texas and blizzards in New York. What the hell do you want? The West Plains up with a fucking skating rink. Yep, ice slick baby. Yeah, the
perfect weather.
When the stick first started, I was in my big duty. And I was about 6 miles from home, and it just hit. I lost grip a couple times. I thought, oh, fuck. And as I drove along the road slowly, locked in, pickup truck slid off the side of the road quick before aiming it, so I guess the lady was okay. But we have no curves here. We have no sides to pull off of. When you go off the road here, you go off on either off a cliff or in a big ditch or something. There's no curves. There's nowhere to pull over. You know, that's why they call us ridge runners here. And ice is not your friend going downhill on and turning at the same time type shit. You know what I mean? It just don't work out. So, yeah, we had a lot of people slide off down here in this area. But I made it home. Mine didn't get scratched. So I pulled up, plugged it in, and that was the last time I've been in it. I haven't left the ranch. Mm-mm, no. No, not at all. Well, you guys been watching the political news lately, I'm sure. But have you guys been watching that deal in Flint, that water? In Flint, Michigan? No? Well, it's full of lead. It's lead flavored. It's kind of like coffee jars. You know, I'm a producer of jars, yeah. It's not like coffee, it's just lead flavored. My show's on it tonight, so. Plug that, but that's what I'm talking about tonight. Watch out. It's aqua. It's a criminal thing. It's a criminal thing. They knew about this shit. You know what I'm saying? They knew it. But they're so broke, couldn't do nothing about it? Really? I mean, really.
Well,
that water was nasty.
That whole thing in Flint, Michigan, let me tell you something, man. Personally, somebody dropped the fucking ball. And the people living there.
Well, but you got to remember that used to be one of the hot spots, you know, for auto manufacturing. So we shipped all that work overseas. That's what killed that town. Just like a Walmart going and wiping one out, you know. But, you know, that, I don't know. I don't get it. I guess they're getting robbed of taxpayers enough to keep their pockets full of money. So they grab the money and run, you know what I mean, instead of using the money to fix shit, the infrastructure of it all. You know, they expect to be sticking in their pockets. You know, when they don't keep getting their, you know, tribute money to them every week or whatever, they get 11.7, they don't get the same as they used to, you know. You know, you usually pay me $1,000. Today you're going to pay me $10. What the fuck, you know? Come on, you owe me. I'm going to trunk you, go. You know? So they cut corners. And they knew it. So they cut it to government. That's what the government did.
Apparently, an Environmental Protection Agency administrator quits amid Flint water crisis.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that. Matter of fact, they're interviewing Aaron Brockovich. Remember that woman that did that movie? That movie about her? And that water and that thing? All that? Yeah. Yeah, she even did an interview on that. She even got involved with it. So. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's you know, what's next? I mean, it don't shock me. It sure don't. You just don't know what they put in it, and they mix that water, city water. You just don't have a clue.
Somebody showed a jar of water that was pink or like a reddish pink color.
Yeah, like rust color.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
It was a different shape than rust color.
Yep,
and
it's floating there too.
It was treated, but then it wasn't treated properly.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what the population of Flint is. I don't, you know, I'm sure it's quite a few people. I'm sure it's not as much. Detroit's about empty, I think. Detroit's about done. Yeah, the job market just walked out of there. There's nothing there anymore really to do. And matter of fact, General Motors wanting to use the water out of the water system.
Well, there's a Back in 1990, Flint, Michigan had 141,553 people. But over time, over the years, it's declined.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
So as of a couple of years ago, at least, had under 100,000 people in Flint, Michigan.
All right, you're cutting out, George.
Oh, it's not again.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit.
I'm only getting half the story.
Okay. You know what? Screw Blog Talk Radio for tonight. I'm going straight to Mixler. The hell with this shit. I can't split my resources any more than I've already done.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking ridiculous. But I have a feeling it's going to have something to do with the weather, too.
Are you going through Skype?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. Big problem. and you come through on your cell phone line.
Those white people heard on my phone on Mixler is fine.
George, you right now you would fail a field sobriety test.
That's how bad the audio is?
You're getting there.
All right, let me try something. Hold on a second.
Do you have a gain control at all?
Let me try something here. Better?
Nope.
I didn't think so. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, due to technical difficulties beyond my control, Firefox News Online on Blog Talk Radio is coming to an abrupt end tonight. I'll be going to continue with Mixler.com, so if you guys have Skype ready to go, join me there.
All righty.
And I will post a thing on Facebook publicly, so that'll go to Twitter, letting people know of change. Folks, this podcast talk radio. You all heard what I just said. So this way, in time. Not be many. That's the way it is from my perspective. See y'all on in just a moment. There's like a thing here. Damn it. Thank you for tuning in to Firefox News Online here on blogtalkradio.com. If you have a topic or story idea you'd like to send to us, you can write to WeReport@FirefoxNewsOnlineProductions.com. That's WeReport@FirefoxNewsOnlineProductions.com. And if you have any comments on the stories you have heard tonight, you can write to us, comments@FirefoxNewsOnlineProductions.com. That's comments@FirefoxNewsOnlineProductions.com. And you can also send your comments via Facebook or Twitter using hashtag FFNOP. That's hashtag FFNOP. You can catch Firefox News Online any time of the day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in archives, by either going to blogtalkradio.com/FirefoxNews-online or going to our production company site, FirefoxNewsOnlineProductions.com. Thanks for listening. We hope to have you here next time for another edition of Firefox News Online. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are that of myself and those who call in, and do not reflect the views and opinions of any other person, BlogTalkRadio.com, or Firefox News Online Productions.